Ed, let me ask you something.
Please.
When we're talking about numbers.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is 7 the only magnificent number? Or conversely, would the film Magnificent 7 be better served if it was the Magnificent 8, Magnificent 6? What's your take on, is 7 magnificent?
Well, first I want to just say that I do find the number 7 odd. Just like I find number 3 and 1.
Oh, man.
Did I tell you that popped in my head immediately when you said 7? And I'm like, what could I make, actually say that out loud? It was killing me inside. I'm like, what can I actually deliver that little fun note?
Yeah, it was good.
7 is a special. It always has been, right? 7's been over the ages. And when I say ages, maybe in the last, 50 years, in sports team, 7 is usually like our U.S. based fans, in U.S. football, 7's usually a quarterback. Who leads a team? 7 days in a week.
Yeah.
But what were the other ones you mentioned? 7 is more magnificent than what? What were the other choices?
8 or 6.
The numbers that hang out with 7.
It could be any number. I'm just asking. Have you ever seen the Magnificent 7? Have you seen that movie?
I have, and the predecessor was the Samurai movie, right? What was that one called?
The Seven Samurai.
There you go. 7 Samurai.
7 Samurai is awesome. Also,
Seven
is awesome.
Also awesome. I years ago with my dad. My dad was a big fan of that type of film. So,
what type of film? What type of film do you mean?
Like a cowboy.
American westerns.
Just gonna say thought provoking, sensitive.
Yeah.
Cowboy films.
Yeah.
With
Merchant Ivory of cowboy films.
That's right. That's right. The cowboy with a heart of gold.
Yeah.
But now that you say that, I would say if we'd have to do a little search on this, get the research team on this, but I would say 7 is probably the most predominantly used number in titling of films and plays.
But what I'm asking is it magnificent? Do you find 7 to be magnificent? You do.
I do. The movie already told me it's magnificent. And I believe the movie.
Well, I mean, if you can't believe everything you see and hear, then.
I mean, come on. If Hollywood's telling me it's 7 magnificent, I believe you.
True.
I believe anything that comes out of Hollywood.
Welcome to another Quick Hit Pod edition of
Quick Hit Pod. Yes, darling.
When Dubs podcast. We know you just heard from us. You and maybe you're like, oh my god, are these guys
be
again?
Careful what you ask for, folks, when you're saying we miss you.
Guys. Boy, I mean, this is one was plenty. But here we are back again because, as you may have gleaned from that very long intro, Prince released, or the estate rather, released another one of these, what they're calling virtual B-sides of a track titled
Magnificent.
Magnificent, which is also the title of a U2 song. Another U2 Prince rivalry there.
What? I didn't know that.
U2 on what album was it? On a fairly recent album, No Line on the Horizon. I guess it's not that recent. It's like 10 years ago, but there was a song called Magnificent on that.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Anyway, this Magnificent came out just yesterday.
And did you know that this is the seventh release from the Musicology album?
Is that true?
Nope. Just made it up. Sorry. That was a bummer.
That's why he's the best color man in the business, folks.
Spouting out lies like I tend to do.
Spouting out lies.
It's all about when Jared and I put this pod together, we said, how deep can we misinform the public about Prince's career? Let's find ways.
Misinformation is really big for us. I mean, we frequently say the wrong thing. So that's appropriate, I guess.
Yeah, we get our fact checkers together. Anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah, it just got released. It was exciting to see. And I know folks on the Facebook page had posted that right away. Todd was in there telling me about the new single and that he liked it. So Jared and I hopped on a quick call and said, hey, let's maybe get together, do another quick review.
A quick review. And we know we're going to get back to our Sheila E's and our Vanity Sixes and all those other things.
Yeah.
And we're going to do that. But we wanted to just touch base on Magnificent really quick since it came out. Ed, do you have any? Well, I mean, I get you didn't know this track either, right? Did you know this one?
No, I think your facts and figures will what's the word I'm looking for? Exonerate me that I don't think I had any ability to even listen to it. I don't think when it came out, was it only
markets? Let me tell you, should I give a little facts and figures just to get us going here?
Let's do a little facts and figures. I'll tell you on a Monday, Saturday morning, singing and song. Yeah. Oh my God.
Oh boy. We're recording this early, folks. Early in the morning. You know, we'll use that as an excuse.
Yep.
Facts and figures on Magnificent. So this was originally released April 5th, 2004. Back in aught four.
Yep. Remember that
and
time
what were
clearly.
Doing in aught four? Do you remember what you were doing in April of aught four?
I probably was what day? April what day? J 5th?
April 5th in 2004.
Yeah, I had a fight with my girlfriend that day. I remember that clearly.
Speaking of misinformation,
you have no girlfriends.
No girlfriends. Yeah. This was released April 5th, 2004. It was an NPG Music Club MP3 download.
Oh.
So some folks got their hands on it. It was never released on an album. And I'll tell you this. I'm looking at this info from Prince Vault, which I'm sure folks know.
Shout out to Prince Vault. They do such a great job.
They do a great job. But you know what? Even Prince Vault is a little in the dark on this track because I thought this was funny. You know, they give you the song details. They say, like, you know, who's the performer? When was it released, etc. Yeah. And then they also include the writers and the producers. And here's what it says. Writer. Prince, parentheses, assumed.
That's right.
Producer, Prince, assumed. So there you go. They also believe it has never been performed live. This is a track that has never been performed live. So Magnificent was released as a virtual B-side for Musicology. The single itself did not receive a retail or download release in North America. On April 26th of 2024, yesterday, for those of you keeping score at home, 3 weeks after the digital reissue of Virtual B-Side United States of Division, Magnificent was re-released as a standalone digital track by Prince's Estate as a part of the 20th anniversary campaign for the Musicology album.
Nice.
Magnificent was recorded in May 2003, most likely at Paisley Park Studios. And according to this, it is assumed that Prince played all the vocals and all the instruments rather and did all the vocals.
I would, based on the production of the song and the arrangement, I would have been very surprised if someone else had lent a hand. Frankly.
I would also, yes, agreed. Yeah. Completely, 100%. So with that being said, should we hear a little bit of it?
Let's take a little listen to Magnificent.
Do it.
BBK. Magnificence. What I'm about to say will astound you, but I can only say when no one's around you. Oh, magnificent. Oh, magnificent. Will it pound you?
Now, Ed, I kind of wasted the whole intro of the show on like what could have been my Magnificent Seven joke, I guess.
No. You have a different joke you want to try? You could feel free here.
I don't know. Free. This space free. I don't know if I have anything. Do you have something? Do you have something for Magnificent?
I don't have a joke. I actually had a thought and an image pop flew through my head as we're talking through Magnificent. Was there a Disney something related to Magnificent? Does that ring any bells for you?
No. Okay. Are you thinking of Maleficent?
Ah, that's what I'm probably thinking of.
She's one of the evil queens.
You know what? That's exactly who I'm thinking of. Is that? That'd have been a different song, I guess.
I guess it would be. I think is she Sleeping Beauty's evil queen or Snow White? I don't remember.
I don't remember. Folks, please, this is where we need your help as listeners to fill in these gaps and let us know when we go on these tangents. Help us with this.
I feel like this is not top tier stuff from us this morning, but that's okay. Yeah. So that was Magnificent. Ed, what do you make of this track that you were not familiar with? What do you think? What's your hot take?
I'm intrigued by this one as well. Maybe not to the scale that United States of Division, which we talked about just a couple days ago. But, you know, I really dug deep on the production of this. It's just keyboards and drums.
Right. There's nothing else. It's very minimal. It's very, very, very minimal.
Right. So, you know, it starts with that bass drum. And it's almost like when I first started listening to it, I'm thinking, oh, my God, this is going to be like one of those old school blues shuffles, you know, like dun, 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 like that. But it's interesting because it flips. It starts with the bass drum doing that. Then the keyboard takes over that rhythm. The bass drum changes to a different rhythm pattern. And then it's just keyboard kind of sprinkled through and hand claps added. And then there's this interesting kind of, and I, you know, I wish I knew my music theory better, but it, I don't know if it's just an augmented chord or an off key chord. There's something interesting in the chord pattern because it sounds like it's pretty straightforward. And then it hits this kind of odd minor key or some type of key that just is a little jarring. It's just like, it doesn't sound quite right for the melody, which I think makes it really interesting. He really is relying on rhythm and drums through this, as we were talking about. It's pretty sparse, which is interesting. And then he brings some synth bass in as well. There's some interesting, like, kind of wind kind of echoing through
it.
Wind effect about midway through the song. I find the lyrics kind of intriguing, too, to be honest with you.
I completely agree. I think lyrically, it's very interesting. It's clever. In a way that feels unexpected to me. And it's also, these lyrics feel very considered. They don't feel tossed off.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And, you know, I feel like we've said that sometimes in the sort of back half of Prince's career, that some of the lyrics felt a little half-baked. I think these lyrics are pretty good.
Yeah. Is there any standout for you? We tend to write the same ones down. I'm curious.
There's a few. There's a few that stand out to me. I really like, for example, in verse two, this whole verse. The two of us like stardust. We go back, yeah, we must, to the dawning of all time, to the nuclear reaction, the only present satisfaction, the sweet and sticky kind.
That's
pretty good. That's a pretty good way to talk about sex. And I also really like, actually, I bet you spoke to these as well. There's that sort of spoken word break in the middle. Counting backwards 1,000 to 1, everything we do is so much fun. To our time began, before I was a woman, before you were a man, before sex and race ever mattered. Tell me now, do you understand? That's pretty good.
Yeah, I wrote that one down. And similar to his approach on United States of Division, he isolates to bass drum.
Yeah.
For the before sex and race ever mattered, tell me now, do you understand? It really isolate that particular part of the lyric. Yeah. I thought, I think that's really cool. Yeah, and that's really intriguing line, before I was a woman, before you were a man, which is really interesting as well. Yeah, I'm with you. It's really, the lyrics are really, really interesting on this one.
Yeah, and that makes me wonder, or ask this question, I suppose, like, am I misreading, or are we misreading the point of view of this lyric? Like, is this written from the point of view of a woman, or is the male protagonist saying, sometime back in time, we were all the same, we were flipped, we're all one, you know? It could be either of those things. I don't know. But it's interesting to think about.
No, I think you're right. I don't know what the right answer there, if there is a right answer there. I think it raises some interesting questions and makes you ponder a bit, which that's a good lyric, right? So, yeah, I don't know. I'm kind of aligned with what you said in the former than the latter, which is just sort of like maybe fluid sexuality, different spirits. Why be gender labeled? It's interesting. It's a really what's interesting to me too is he certainly did this in the 80s, you know, with the whole I Would Die for You and different lyrics where there was this androgynous thing. He kind of got away from that later in his career. Really didn't talk to that much. And maybe I'm just not recalling it. So it's interesting to see him really dig into or dive into that type of that thinking here on this song. It's intriguing, very intriguing to me.
It's very intriguing. It makes me think too of there's a lyric. Pearl Jam has a song from their fourth album, which is called No Code. There's a song on that album called Hail Hail. Mm-hmm. And there's a lyric in that when Eddie Vedder sings, "Are you woman enough to be my man?"
Oh, interesting.
And so this echoed that for me. That reminded me of that sort of sentiment. Very different kinds of songs and music.
Yeah.
Very intrigued by it.
And what'd you make of this? This is like the main line that keeps getting repeated in the song. It's kind of the mantra of the song, or the main thought of the song. But the voice you hear,
yeah,
is the alchemy of your mind. What's your take on that?
Yeah, that's another really great turn of phrase. And for me, I think this is what I think. And I feel like this sort of falls more into the prototypical sort of Prince sort of lyric. Is it a declaration saying, like, I am the thing that you've been waiting for all this time? It's me. Mm-hmm. You've been looking mm-hmm. for me. You've been waiting for me. I'm the thing that you always hear in your mind mm-hmm. when you imagine your perfect lover, when you imagine the great love that's going to sweep you off your feet. It's always been me. That's what took it to mean. What did you hear? What did you hear in that?
A similar idea. I think what I was thinking was simply that, him speaking, the things they talk about is they're just soulmates. Like, it just matches. It all syncs together. I'm voicing the things that are already in your head. Like, we're already connected. We're already one, was kind of where I was going with it. So similar idea.
But it also sounds too, you know, like if you look at some of these other lyrics, like, for example, right in the first verse, so much anticipation for this conversation, such a long time. In the pre-chorus, the first pre-chorus, I've been watching you, sure been watching you in the time it took the others to say your name. The two of us, like Stardust, we go back to the dawning of all time. It sort of feels like almost like a story of, how do I want to say this? Like, immortal lovers or reincarnated lovers or that.
Yeah, sure.
You know,
yeah.
We've been circling each other since time began. I think that's interesting too.
I would love to know who this was written about, if it was, because I in my mind, I imagine he sees a protege-ish type gal out there who's a singer.
Yeah, could be.
Before they know her name, before she's famous, maybe he's discovering her before she became a superstar or known, or before she might get known. But I don't know, because he says something in the front about respected her for a long time, or the person for a long time, right? I've seen you from a distance or something.
From a distance. Yeah, he says, let's just say I've respected you from a distance. I've been watching you, should have been watching you. And there's also, too, this lyric, regardless of what they say to you, the moment you hear me speak there through, like paradise, I'm so nice, I never lose my effect on you. Mm. Which, again, sort of to me makes me feel like, oh, whoever this character is and whoever he's singing to, they've been sort of bouncing off of each other like atoms, you know, for years and years and years and years.
Yeah. ATOMS, everybody, just so you're following that, by the way.
Yes, Adam. Atoms.
Yeah. Atoms, the atoms. It's also, there's just sort of this hint of forbidden love to it, because I think he references in the lyric that he only can say these things when no one else is around the person.
Yes. Yes.
So that's interesting too. Like, is there something scandalous about this thing or forbidden about the love or this connection that he has with this person, whatever that could be?
Or if I keep walking down this path I'm on now of like reincarnation and sort of something mm-hmm. mystical about it, I can only say this when no one's around you because, sort of the cosmos is in the way or like I can only be revealed to you. We can only see each other in this certain way. I don't know, something like that. If you keep walking down the Prince mysticism road.
Yeah, no, I see what you're saying there. Yeah.
It's whatever the point is. I think this is an interesting song. And as I kept listening to it, I liked it again, sort of like United States of Division, in that every time I listened to it, I liked it more.
Yeah. Yeah. Similar.
And it makes you wonder why I didn't make the cut to be on Musicology.
I have to say, though, similar to how I talked about United States of Division, I don't know. I mean, I guess this could have fit within the album. I think this would have fit better on 3121.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Just because of the way he produced it, it's very minimal. Like, you know, no horns in there. There was a lot of horns and just like guitar. Like, he tried to fill out Musicology with instrumentation because that was the
point
of the manifesto of the album. So to me, this would have sat nicely within 3121, which is already a strong album in my mind.
That's fair. I think that's fair to say. Yeah. Well, what do you think, folks? What record should this have made it onto something? What do you how do you like Magnificent? Is it doing something for you? Is it not?
Is it Magnificent? So we scored the other song. What would you be your rating for this one?
I think I'm in the same ballpark, man. I think I would do 3 3-quarter Prince cymbals on this, maybe 3.5, maybe 4. Like, that's the range I'm in.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Yeah, I struggle. I think it's for me at the moment, and again, this could change the more I listen to it. It's maybe a notch below United States of Division in my mind, and I think I rated that 3.5, but I could easily go 3.25 with this one for sure.
Well, it certainly, I mean, they're totally different subjects, right?
Right.
Totally different kinds of subjects, totally different kinds of styles. So I hear that. I mean, but I think on its own merit, as sort of like a transcendental love song of some sort.
Yeah, that's just
it's pretty interesting.
It is.
It's pretty interesting. And I think it's lyrically really strong.
Ah, maybe 3.5.
There you go.
Maybe 4, 4.5.
That's it. That's it. That's how you do it.
Yep.
Yeah.
But let us know, folks, you know, as we say, jump into those social media options and give us some feedback on the song.
Slide into our DMs.
Is that what we're doing? Do that if you need to. Be safe about it.
Be safe.
Be safe, please.
Safety first. Always safety first.
Always safety first.
Put your goggles on.
Yeah, exactly. Helmet, maybe. That's right. Definitely the fluorescent vest.
Oh, you got to have the vest.
Got to do that at a minimum. So, folks, you know, let us know what you think. Maybe the estate will keep giving us this opportunity to do these quick pods. But as Jared said, you know, we're doing our homework. We're both starting to take notes on that last Sheila. That's not the last official Sheila E. album. It's the last one with Prince involvement for Sheila E. So we're giving that a listen. I would say we'll have that. We would say for next week, right? For first Sunday in May, I would think. Right.
That's our hope. That's our hope.
Yeah. We'll do it. We're going to commit to it. We're going to do it.
We're all right. We're going to commit to that.
Yeah.
So that's it for this quick little hit on Magnificent, folks. Let us know what you think. As we said, you can shoot us emails at whendovespodcast@gmail.com. You can reach us on Instagram. You can reach us on Facebook. I guess that's it. We're not on any other platforms at the moment.
At the moment, no. Not yet. Folks, always great to quickly get. Oh, it's always great to see Jared, of course. But well, then also to keep this conversation going on with y'all. So let us know what you think, and we'll be back shortly with a full pod with Sheila E.
A full pod.
But until then, folks, may you
live to
see
the
dawn.
The dawn. Bye, everybody.
See you, everybody. Bye. Bye.